Kia ora and welcome to Meet the Newbies, a podcast where we speak to New Zealand's newest MPs. Today, we are talking to Greg O'Connor, the new Labour MP for Ohio and the former president of the New Zealand Police. Let's learn about him.
All right, how are you doing today, Greg?
Very well, thank you.
How would you describe yourself in a sentence?
In a sentence, I'd like to say I'm reasonably easygoing, that I'm inquisitive, that I really like to know what's happening in the world beyond my immediate surroundings.
So what's your background?
Well, I'm born on the west coast of South Island and a dairy farmer, and I've went to school on Granity Convent, a good old coal mining town down the west coast, Buller High. I spent a year at St. Pat's in Wellington, and I joined police as a cadet when I was a 18-year-old and have essentially been in police for around about 40 years. The last 20 years of that I spent as the president of the Police Association, which is an elected job to be the spokesperson for police officers, essentially.
Who's your greatest hero? Who's your greatest inspiration?
Both those, the guys who wrote the American Constitution. When I look at now the threat that it's coming under with a crazy president, it's actually, I'm thinking that those guys wrote that thing in all those centuries ago, where they got that division of power, and it looks like that might save the United States and the world at the moment. So as I've just been reading a little bit more about that, I'm thinking, well, those guys are pretty smart.
Do you think we should have a written constitution here in New Zealand?
Yeah, I wouldn't like something that enshrines some basic rights. Yes, the more I'm understanding, the more I think that some sort of controls on executive power is necessary. And I think something that I've been a little uneasy with over recent years is just seeing more and more ministerial and executive control over the public sector in particular. We don't want the balance where the public sector run the place either, but I'm just a little concerned. The more I'm learning is that really you get a big, strong personality that can take over. I think MMP has probably been best control or, I suppose, governor on executive power that we have got, particularly in the absence of an executive council or a higher government.
When did you realise you wanted to get into politics?
It was never a decision, funnily enough. It was sort of more of an evolution. I've always been incredibly interested in politics. My last job in police, which of course was the head of the Police Association, was a very political job. It was about dealing with politicians, about learning how politics worked, the limitations, and how, if you want to genuinely influence the environment, how best those levers are. And so that, in some ways, built into an understanding. I left that job last year without any specific intent to go into politics, but it was sort of quite a logical next step in many ways. I resisted it, but when I realised that I was almost fighting the inevitable, then it was quite a relief. So that sort of came about. There was no moment in time that I decided, but it was more of a force, if you like, that led into it.
What would you be willing to march in the streets for?
The rights of those who are born into the lowest socioeconomic environment in New Zealand and who increasingly are finding it very, very difficult to advance out of their socioeconomic circumstances to become part of what we would term mainstream society. So marching the street is about ensuring that the power and money, which is becoming more and more concentrated in fewer and fewer hands, is dissipated and that everyone gets a share of same.
If you could have one ministry, what would it be?
One ministry I would like perhaps doesn't exist yet. It would be a ministry of equity. And, you know, we have the Ministry of Women's Affairs, we have Māori, we have different civic. What I think I would like to see them all is come under one position, which is equity. And out of that sounds a bit of a pipe dream, but out of that, I would like to see people being recruited into a ministry who are able, who have proven, who in their worlds, who can go and try and drag our youth, particularly our vulnerable and at-risk youth, to show them how they can become part of our mainstream society. It's alienation. The biggest issue we have in this country is alienation. You've got a whole population growing up who do not feel that this mainstream society they see on the telly, that they see speeding past them on motorways through their often quite poor suburbs, that they see in the wealthy cafes and restaurants of their centre cities, that it's just not part of their lives. And a whole infrastructure of the right people, probably almost invariably men and women over 50, who are recruited just for their ability to do nothing else but to, first of all, be role models, but secondly, to actually show these kids that so many of whom are destined for a life of alienation, that there is a way.
Why do you think only men and women over 50 should be part of this?
Well, I mean, that's a arbitrary figure, but I think people who have had a few knocks, who have the ability to context. I mean, these people may get the right person. I mean, I'm now pie in the sky stuff. I never really put this down, but I know so many of these people in different communities. I saw them, something akin to this happened in the 1980s, early 80s, when we had quite high unemployment, when we had teams, I just can't remember now what we called them, but basically where groups of unemployed were taken out and shown how to work and do things. And I saw the people who were recruited to run those teams were often those very capable people who, one of the best things that they did impart to those people was how to actually work and without any great bureaucracy behind them could get people operating in our society, get them off drugs, get them off the booze, get them actually out, show them how to do a job.
What changes to New Zealand law do you want to make during this term, aside from the Ministry of Equity?
I'm quite interested to see what we can do around cannabis and drugs. I'd like to see us almost start again and work out. I'm a great believer in work out what success looks like. How will we? You know, we're never going to rid the society of drugs. No society ever has. However, what we really want to do is two things, and particularly I'm talking about cannabis here. Whatever we do, we've got to make sure that we do not inadvertently increase the availability and supply of cannabis to people under 18, because if we get that wrong, we will just end up ruining more lives at that level. And the supply out of the hands of criminals and gangs. Now, if we can achieve both those things, I'd like to be part of that.
Are you saying legalising cannabis?
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, whatever we do with cannabis, we've got to achieve two things. Ensure we keep the supply out of it, because at the moment, the very people that shouldn't be using cannabis are, particularly those under 18s. I mean the under 18s who shouldn't be, the ones who I've talked before about locking people into alienation, locking them out of our world. They are the ones that the more cannabis they use under 18, the less the likelihood of being able to be part of mainstream society. And secondly, the gangs now, we've seen by leaving cannabis supply in the hands of gangs, we've now made inadvertently pee more available to our population. So we just need to step back and we'll just need some changes around. So it's a strategy from which more changes will need to emanate.
So what's the strategy? How do we go about taking cannabis and pee out of the hands of gangs?
Well, this is what I'm saying, is it? Let's look at, because those two things, everyone's looking for a pill you can take, change this law and that will happen. It won't do that. What we've got to do is work out those two things that we've got to achieve with any law change. And you start the discussion with that and then you work out what law changes you need. Because to sit here and say, if you change this law, then that will happen. Then we get the law of unintended consequences. I'll give you a very good example of the law of unintended consequences. The reason P is now becoming so prominent is because it's a very different thing around drug testing. People who use cannabis, that cannabis will be detected a lot longer than P will be. So we're inadvertently, people now are more likely to use P than cannabis. So these are all the things you've got to take into consideration. So you're asking me for a law change. I'm saying we don't know, no one law by itself. It's all going to be, the law is a result of the strategy. So you determine what needs to happen, then you see what law you need. I think it's a mistake to say, let's just pass this law and then this will happen. So it's all what some would say naively, I'd like to see us do first. Work out what we want to work, what we want to do first, and then work out what laws we need to make it happen.
Conscience issues. Do you support decriminalisation and further legalising of abortion?
I'm not quite sure where we are with that abortion thing. I've heard some discussion around taking it out of the Crimes Act. I don't know what the implications of that are, and I'd need to know a lot more about it. I'm certainly, the status quo I'm in favour of at the moment, but I'd need to be convinced that we do need to change. I'm not even aware of what the arguments are of taking the abortion out of the Crimes Act, so I'd need to understand more about that. I'm on status quo with that.
Intentions multi-steps, do you support that?
If there is going to be, yes, essentially, and I think if there is ever going to be a referendum on that, it should be for Maori.
Do you support the foreign deployment of New Zealand troops overseas, like in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I do, under UN sanction, not under just curry favour with any foreign power.
128 MPs currently in the House. Do you support raising that number, lowering that number, or is that number how it is?
Well, seeing how big and how difficult it's going to be to service my electorate, I certainly wouldn't be in favour of electorates becoming any bigger. Whatever we do to make sure that our people are getting the right, in my electorate and other electorates, are getting the service they need and the attention they need, you could not make our electorate any bigger. So if reducing the number of MPs meant bigger electorates, absolutely opposed to it, because I don't think we'd be giving the service to the people we need, that they need.
Well, I mean, the lower number of MPs would mean more electorates, but smaller electorates.
Well, not necessarily, because unless you reduce the number of listing MPs as well, if you just reduced MPs, I'm assuming proportionally you would reduce the number of listing MPs as well. Listing MPs are not electorate MPs, they are listing MPs.
Okay.
And I don't think should ever be considered as part of an electorate resource.
Okay. Do you support assisted dying?
I'm certainly in favour of David Seymour's bill, as it stands, going to a first reading, so I can understand more about the safeguards. But physician-assisted death, I'm philosophically not opposed to, and I certainly, the reason I say this is that I apply it to myself. If it were me, what would I say? I would like, were I to be terminally ill, in pain, would I want the opportunity to end it before it got so bad? The answer is yes. As far as making decisions for others, I have had some background in this. I had a son who was born who was very ill, and my wife and I made a decision around no resuscitation, which was for a... He made it, he got through, but that was not quite what we're talking about, physician-assisted death, but it is in that realm.
If you're trapped on a desert island with an MP from an opposing party, who would you choose?
There's some pretty bright individuals there. I've met some over the last few days from the new intake. Oh, probably one of the brightest chaps I've met of any other position is probably possibly David Seymour, actually.
Okay, thank you for listening. This has been Greg O'Connor, new MP for Ohio.